Chus, welcome to episode 50.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
50.
I know, right? We started this like a year and a half ago, and we didn't even think if we'd get past episode 10, because we didn't even know if we'd have time every week, but we're still here.
On the first day, we did three, and then it got downhill.
We were sweating a lot
or
that day.
Uphill or downhill. I never get that one.
It was all, no, not downhill. No, not up. Uphill means it's harder, and downhill means it goes bad. It was on Easy Street from there.
Ah, yeah.
Yes, yeah. There we go.
On Bourbon Street.
On Bourbon.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about today?
Stories.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Have you got one?
Not one in particular, but we're going to talk about two. Two that we've been talking about for the past few weeks here.
Well, you have. I was on holiday.
Well, we did some of those before you went on holiday.
Ah, okay. That one. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about stories. Why stories are important to design, why designers don't just need to worry about the rectangles on the screen, but also about the story of how these products they are making and how these rectangles fit into people's lives. And in order to do that, we are going to use the Apple event, which we have talked about, and the Google event, which was quite nice. So this was the Google Pixel 2 event.
Did you hear that? He said he liked it. Yeah.
I'm normally Apple gushing fanboy with praise. What? Mm-hmm. No?
Apple fanboy.
I wouldn't call myself a fanboy. I do complain. But I will say the Google event really made me consider switching, to the point that I have not ordered an iPhone 8 or an iPhone 10. I haven't even gone to a store to try. I don't even know if they're out yet, because I'm not sure what I'm going to do next. Because I think Google had such a compelling story at that event.
Yeah.
And one of my friends was here. He had a Google Pixel phone, just the Pixel 1.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Pixel 2 is out yet. But the photos on it were beautiful, better than the iPhone. And it just made me think, you know, what do I want to do? So I think we're going to use those two events in order to illustrate why stories are so important.
Yeah. I think now you're going to notice the vendor lock-in, like the amount of money required to switch has gradually become more and more.
Oh, definitely. But I don't need to necessarily switch everything, right? If I want to switch my sort of phone ecosystem, I can do the phone, I can do whatever their copy of the Amazon dot is.
Yeah.
So, I don't have to do it lock, stock, and barrel.
Just dip your toes in.
I might. Yeah. So, if we reflect upon each one of these events, right, the Apple one and the Google one,
mm-hmm.
I think the Google one started out very important for one reason, where they stated about being AI first.
Yeah.
And this is important because it sets up the story for every single product that they debuted on that stage. And if I look over at Apple, they basically still set everything up as product, product, product. Oh my God, it's a new iPhone.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a cohesive moment that pulled everything together. And so what you just mentioned about vendor lock-in, about me moving over to an ecosystem, it really is a true ecosystem that is tied together with a singular story of AI or the Google Assistant.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas Apple, I can buy another product. I can buy the HomePod, but God knows Siri is just still weak.
Yeah.
So
it makes sense if you look at the history of the companies. Apple has gotten big as a product company. They've always sold products. They know it would be smart to make those products work together, and the coming up of computer networks, internet, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and everything has enabled these products to work together really well, but they still see them as separate products with separate functions. Whereas Google has always been a service company that started as a singular service that got into a platform. And what they're doing now is trying to make output or devices around their service to make you use it more and better, right? So the story is for the whole service.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I think the products that they're creating, the hardware products, are stunning. I think they're beautiful. And so if I think about the presentation of Google's story, right, it's not necessarily maybe a consumer story about AI first, but if I look at each individual product, I see the story behind that product. I see a lot of it centers around photography.
Yeah.
Right. If I look at the Google Pixel, if I look at Google Clips, a lot of it is about this capturing of moments, and then it's going up to the cloud. Google's photo storage.
Yeah.
So there is this beautiful consumer story all around capturing moments, all around photography. If I go back to the iPhone is this beautiful masterpiece of industrial design when they present it. And then they go into some of the features, right? But they really show them off as features, even though the portrait lighting that we talked about was interesting. Yeah. There was some great technology there. But they don't really talk about it as far as how it fits into my life. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something Apple has done in the past quite well. But I feel that that was lacking in the last few events, whereas Google is picking up here and they show me how Clips fits into my life. They show my kid's birthday. You know, they show a lot of it was around families.
Yep.
For the Google Pixel, if you watch the commercials, and here's the critical thing to do with a lot of these, go and watch the commercials, go and watch the promos, and just look at how much percentage of time is about pictures and capturing moments, right? And then how much percentage of time is about leveraging Google's AI service in order to do something for you, right? It's not about showing off the features. It's about showing off how it fits in your life. And that is such a compelling story. And it's one of those things that makes me want to jump over.
Yeah, and if you see what Google has been doing with Google Photos, they've been pretty much making the service free and unlimited storage for people who buy a Google Pixel. It's a little bit different if you have a different Android phone, but still you have a photo storage place that doesn't seem to run out of space. Now, of course, during their event, they made fun of Apple for actually running out of space. And I don't care much for those jokes on stage.
I feel that's so cheap. I feel that slots them in a number two spot because they're trying to attack number one.
Yeah.
And that they don't have to do that. And it disappoints me. That was sad.
Yeah, they did it last time with the colors as well. It's just, yay, haha. But for instance, Adobe yesterday launched their new round of product upgrades, and they announced a product split in the Lightroom category, where there's now a new Lightroom subscription, basically, that you can get outside of your total creative suite, which comes with a terabyte of space. And all of your mobile apps and desktop apps automatically upload everything to the cloud. So you see that even a company like Adobe, who used to be all about the single applications and selling an application a piece, went to the subscription model where they're selling you everything, and now even moving to the service model where it's not about the software itself anymore, but about being available on all your devices and not even having to worry about backing up your photos or putting them somewhere so you can access them.
So if you're a designer and you're listening to this, you may be thinking, but this is marketing. Right? I'm going to focus on the usability of Google Photos. I'm going to focus on the usability of Google Clips. So here's the problem with this. And I'll relate it back to a very, very tangible example that we worked on at Raft and that I had worked on previously at Frog, which is IKEA. When we started working with IKEA on the connected lighting products, one of the first things we started to do was look at competitors in space. And then you realize that those actually aren't your competitors. The competitor is the light switch on the wall.
Yeah.
So you're developing connected lighting and you realize that your competitor is the analog version. And then you really have to think, what are you doing better in your connected version? And you look at Philips Hue, and Philips Hue, which was the main product at that point, 16 million colors, right? And they would show the application. They would show you could change scenes, right? They would show the features. And one of the things that I learned with IKEA that I thought was so beautiful is they said, how does this fit into somebody's life? What does this do? And realistically, what we found this did is lighting supports activities that you're doing as a person, as a family. If you're watching a movie, you want a different light than if you're reading. You want a different light than if you are cleaning the house. And so it's all about how these lights fit into the activities that you are accomplishing. And through that, then that story you can take to marketing and say, how do we sell this? But if we never thought of that, we would have been focused on the features that we're cramming in there.
Yeah.
And we would have never thought about how this impacts people's lives. And so when I go back to Google and Apple, I think Google is really showing how this impacts my life. And I hope the designers are part of that story. And Apple is showing me absolutely beautiful products that I love, but it's not quite getting to my life.
Yeah. If we can get back to the Philips Hue versus IKEA point, Philips was indeed selling light bulbs with 16 million colors, right? And then what IKEA did is actually they picked a couple of colors.
20, to be exact. I was there.
And then they gave a story to those colors. And if you have 16 million things to choose from, you don't know what to choose and why. If you have 20 things to choose from, you can actually see, I want to pick that one, and this is why. And as a designer, maybe in the marketeer's role at that moment as a designer, but you get to pick that story that goes with that product so people know where it fits.
This was incredibly interesting to work on that connected lighting, because we got to figure out what those colors were, right? You got to sit around and say, what activities do we want to support? And what do we think are going to be the best light temperatures and light colors to support those? And that's where the design comes in, right? Because you're really saying, what story is this product accomplishing in somebody's life? And because of that, we're changing the way that the features are getting developed, what these features are, what they do. So this is why stories are so important, and this is why we're reflecting on these big events that everyone would know about, because the Google event did such a great job at telling a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Now, Chus, you mentioned, and I think this is the way we can close this down, because both of those events showcased another story, which you brought up before we went on the air, and I thought this was also a really, really good way of contrasting both products.
Yeah.
In this case, a little bit in favor of Apple. So can you talk about that?
We've all done it. We've signed terms and agreements. And in those terms and agreements, it says things about your privacy, what is private and what is going to be sent to that company. And everybody's just said yes to this in the past. And this has all been long legal texts. And I've been noticing a change recently. I think this change has been caused by many data leaks that we're now getting used to. Now we know that we can't really 100% trust people that we give access to our data, be that photos or emails, or maybe even directly your money on a bank account. You don't know anymore. And both Apple and Google have picked up on this, and their stories are, of course, both of them have cloud services. So they know that there is a risk there. And both of these companies have taken that risk on as a way to tell a story about privacy and how to protect your things.
In Apple's case, they're actually leveraging it as a way to differentiate.
Yeah.
And I think this is one case where I think the story that they're telling around privacy is not only critical and important, but it's quite beautiful and it's quite respectful.
Apple has, in the past few months, updated their privacy website a couple of times, or their page on apple.com. And it's an interesting read. And besides them showing that they protect your privacy and that their security is good, they even give you tips on how to do it properly. And I mean, previously that would be like, okay, use a long password. But Apple is really focusing on how to make things more secure for you. And you've seen this in the legal cases where they refuse to unlock the iPhone that was used in the criminal case.
What I really like about it, what you didn't mention, is on the website, everything's in clear language. It's with images. It's in clear language. I can understand it. I can understand what they are doing with my data to an extent, right? If I really want to get into the details, yes, I have to go into a lengthy document. But that level of presentation tells me as a consumer, they have respect for my data and for my privacy. And I think that's quite a compelling story for a lot of people out there. Now, I know a lot of people still won't like what they do as far as how they work with data and what Apple does internally. But when I compare it to Google and how Google may use my data, I think Apple has a superior story on this.
I think you're right, but I found it very interesting talking about the Google Clips. Google Clips is a camera product that they released in their latest keynote or announced. And it's a small camera that you can place in and around your house or on any object you like. And the story around that one is that it uses machine learning to learn which people you love and which people are background noise, as it were. And it automatically selects moments to record of your day and gives those in a photo stream to you. But the big story about this from a Google point of view is that it does this all locally on the device before it shares anything out to the cloud, not for analysis and not for storage, and you get to select it. And of course, if you compare this to any other Google device up to now, this is a clear break in how they're doing things. Because before, using Google Assistant or Google Photos or any of the services, they always require an internet connection and they always send data up to the cloud for processing. I'm curious if this is kind of a new direction for Google or if this is a one-off product, because of course, having an automatically recording camera in your house that streams stuff to the cloud without you knowing is automatically creepy. I'm just curious to see if Google is going to do this more often.
I hope so. I mean, maybe with Apple sort of driving this and setting some standards here that Google will follow and other companies will follow about transparency. So I do want to wrap this up because I think we've gone on long enough.
Yep.
So if we had to give some tips to designers on what to do, I think from my side, when you're looking at the features of a product, when you're in there, when you're designing those rectangles on a screen, really think about not what all your competitors are doing, maybe not what's technically feasible and what's not, but think about how this would fit into somebody's life and what's the story that you would tell them to communicate the value of this product. And then see if those features that you're creating fits within that. See if you're designing something that's really, really needed. And then follow up with, you know, is this usable, right? Does this have the correct visual layering on it? Is it desirable? But think first as a product, is it desirable? As a story, is it desirable? And once you've known that, then I think you can come back and design the features and design the usability much, much better.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the nose when you were saying that the competitor of a smart light was the switch on the wall. I really think that with all of the capabilities that products are now getting, where they can ahead of time predict things happening or predict what you are going to need, look at the habits of people and how to smooth those out. Don't per se look at the evolution of the product that you have in hand and how you can put features in that, but look at the moments in between experiences and how you can add value to that.
I couldn't agree more. So, Goose, number 50.
Yeah.
In the can, man.
Yeah.
So I will talk to you next week.
Bye, man.
Later.